Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Ulwazi oluthe vetshe, impilo engcono nothando oluthe gabalala. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
I like it when he says nothando oluthe gabalala. I like that. 657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you well, gracing you so much in a mighty way. The best of friends we are, man, of course. Raging throughout up to 8 o'clock, Wednesday Live, the name of the show. Thank you so much to Johan Els for taking us through, man. I always call it my joyride. You know, I used to follow a program when I was a boy, man, that was done by a very, very close friend of mine. His name was Bob Mabena. And we called that program The Joyride. Now, why did we call it The Joyride? It's because we saw how he was able to amass people just across the racial barrier. Amazing. 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 And that was in the 90s, man. So he was able to do that. Just a mere DJ from the streets of Attridgeville. And he was able to speak to so many people so eloquently. And I'm not talking the speech of English, but I'm talking appealing to their sense of goodwill. It is exactly what Johan Els is doing. With more poise, experience, and more of God, you know, than I've ever seen anywhere. And so I am grateful each and every time to listen to his show. And of course, how he closes up, how he does the news, man. Over the years, I've been listening to him. It's just fantastic. Now, let us get on it. And I will be talking to Professor Samuel Kabamba. I will be touching base with him. And then also I will be talking to Muruti Karabo Mraka, and also going down to Parliament, I'll be talking to God's girl, Julia Mamaria Sefako. You know, she was able to give us information about the various topics that we were handling while being in the G20. You know how sensitive that is, man. Have you ever been to Cape Town in these official government, international government things? Highly secured. I mean, you can't use a cell phone for a long time, even in the toilets, man, without the securities passing by and all that. Hey, but nah. And she was able to just do that, to make sure that we got, you know, the information that the Father has placed on her. Fantastic. And, of course, we'll be going also to Sefako Makhatu, the medical university, used to be known as Medunsa. We have there Dr. Baratwa Moema. She will be also elaborating even far much more on the issues tonight. And of course, also, this one is going to be working with me for quite some time, especially in public relations. That's Lisa Po. And she will also be talking to us as a guest tonight. So it's just going to be one beautiful one. And we are just going to enjoy ourselves even far much more. Thank you, Johan. Enjoy yourself. Pass our regards to Louise.
Connecting you with Christ. Download our app and listen to our podcasts.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the broadcasting code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
Radio with higher purpose. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Openview 607. DSTV 882. And online at radiopulpit.co.za. Also download our app and listen to our podcasts.
Formerly from the group called Shalamar. That is this well-known artist, man, LD Barge. And, of course, welcome to it. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. Let me welcome our guests. We have Muruti Karabomarako on the line and also Pastor Samuel Kabamba. Let me start with you, Pastor Sam, today. Greetings to you. Welcome to the show, sir. Trust your world.
Yeah, greetings to you too. Greetings to Muruti Muraka and to all our listeners. Yes, I am well, and by the grace of the Almighty Father, I'm fine. And we are just so blessed to be again, and we believe that we're going to have a wonderful time sharing of the word.
Thank you so much. And also we have Muruti Muraka on the line. Greetings to you, Muruti. Welcome to the show. I trust you well.
Yes, greetings, my brother. Greetings to my brother, Sam Kabamba, as well as all the other guests that will be coming on, plus the beautiful people, listeners of Radio Pulpit. Thank you for welcoming us. We really appreciate this. We give honor and glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Are you well, Sam?
Very well, because mm-hmm. the grace is keeping one and family and so forth. I hope you all are well as well in this grace.
Ah, we are well, yeah. Muruti, man. We are really, well. Yeah, we are well, sir. We are very well. We are very well, to be honest with you. Very well we yeah. are. And, of course... the rains, man, the rains seem to be, you know, coming in. And I know one of our friends who likes to go to Cape Town will enjoy himself so much in Cape Town, you know, on the mountains there, you know.
December, not now, December.
So, we all know who am I talking about.
Yes.
We all know who am I talking about. You know, talking about Samuel Kabamba, that he will be there also. He likes it in December. Man, there's no year, ever since I met this guy, there's no year where he doesn't go to Cape Town, you know?
Yeah, that you need to be sure. No, forget, unless if I'm raptured.
Oh, okay. Yeah, unless when you're raptured, yeah, no. Actually, no one will want to go there, you know? No one will want to go. Everyone will want to go where the Messiah is, I hope. I hope everyone will want to ascend and go where the Messiah is.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, tonight is one of those days, man. It is a Tuesday, and we are looking at the role of stewardship, what it is even all about. You know, I have heard this concept many times. I come from Attridgeville. This word is used like the word bread, you know, of stewardship. Without actually getting the meaning of it, verbatim, you get to understand its implications because of the frequency of its usage. This, the notion of stewardship, something we need to look into tonight, what it is even all about. Now, let me give a scenario. I've come to realize that there are people who own ministries. These are bishops, heads of the churches, senior pastors, and they own the ministries, and they leave these to their families, to their children, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's been happening, and to a great extent. But moving away from that, I also have seen people with talents, massive talents, and who had taken these talents as their own. I remember speaking to my daughter at some stage, and I said, you know, there's one thing we need to refrain from, and it is to say that this life is our lives. The life that you live, the life that I live, I can't say to you, this is my life, I live the way I want. because if I do that, I am violating many of the rules of stewardship with regards to the life that I live. Now, when it comes to talents, many people also say, this is my talent. You'd be lucky and very fortunate if they say it's a God-given talent. I think that is fading away. It's my talent. And everyone is going up to sign up somewhere in West Africa. They're going up to sign up there. And artists who, you know, they go to sign up there to sign and register their talents so that they can be on what we call the superstar mainstream. But we're supposed to be stewards of that. Speaking again to also to some of the students that I have met over the years, and I said, whatever it is that you're studying for must, in a way, be able to make you not afraid to face the Father and give account. Let's go to husbands. As you say that this wife has been made for you, her body, you own her body, or her body is yours, not your own, her body is yours and yours hers. And you have a marriage, you have a stewardship towards that marriage. Okay, let's go to those who have careers, man. Your career seems to have bubbled over the years while we are stuck up. But yours seem to have bubbled. It is not that you're more blessed than others, because many people use the word blessed. It's not to say that you have that more than others. Because we know, to others he gave one talent, to others three, to others five, according to his will. But upon all of them, he put the same measure of accountability, stewardship. And in stewardship, there are regulations to follow. If you become the country's president, well, I wish you do. I wish you become one day. But this should be an opportunity to serve as a steward, not as a thief, but as a steward, and not as a dictator, as a steward and not as an embezzler, as a steward and not as a sectarian, dividing the nations, sowing divisions, and all that. We also have been given liberty, and the word says, do not use your liberty as a license for the flesh. So with the liberty we have also, there comes stewardship. This is one of the things that is never addressed quite properly, even these days. I started with those who own churches and own followings. People are proud of having 4,000, 5,000 people assembling in their building every time. They don't want them to go anywhere else. The Father may entrust you with a stewardship of spreading a powerful revival in your township, but you are limiting it to your denomination. What kind of stewardship is that? You are limiting it to your denomination. You basically want this to be your own thing. You should be the only one. But when time to account comes, you won't account for that group of 5,000 or 1 million people that gather after you, that wear your emblem. But you will have to account to the Father about those you have not reached out to when he gave you the latitude to do that, when he gave you the grace to do that. Okay, let's come to the church. We're supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Aren't we the ones fighting amongst ourselves and dragging one another into court? Are we shedding that light? Or have we put the light under the bowl? What kind of stewardship would we say we exude? I want to know. Looking at 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 29, it says, "Now as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, 'Your servant went out in the midst of the battle, and there a man came over and brought the man to me and said, guard this man.'" Check it out. Guard, protect this man, or shelter this man, or don't let your eye go away from this man. "If by any means he's missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver." It means you will account. One time I was in a church that was split by its senior pastor, and I was kicked out. And let me tell you, there's something that haunted me weeks after. The other guy comes to me. He's a well-known musician now. He was not then. He used to play a keyboard for me. And then he says, "Ray," he says, "Ray, you know, I don't know what these guys are fighting you for, or you are fighting them for. It is none of my business. But the problem I have is the people who had gotten damaged and will not rise up because of what they saw in the church." Many of us are from there. We've marked churches. The church was known as this, and you went on to mask it and call it on your name. Very few had started from scratch, man. I know of my friends who started from scratch to spread the gospel. But the word of that guy never left me even today. To say, look, you guys are fighting. These ones are winning. You are losing. And the ones who are siding with you, seeing you lose, they basically become hopeless and they go back to the beer. And their state becomes worse than before. You are going to account, Pastor Ray. Sure. That really, really drove me, you know, to say, "Father, help me to be a faithful steward."
Let's praise him every Sunday morning at 5 with Ayanda Nenemba for prayer, intercession, testimonies, worship, and the word. Let's praise him with Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life explained.
657 AM Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you good, man. We're talking about stewardship, what it is all about. Ezra chapter 8, verse 29. "Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leaders of the priests and the Levites and heads of the fathers' houses of Yasharal in Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Elohim." Means that keep them until the judgment, where you have to give account. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7, thus says the Elohim of hosts, "If you will walk in my ways and you will keep my commands, then you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge over my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. But it is only when you walk in my ways, keep my commands, then I will make you a steward." Which means a prerequisite for stewardship is that one. not our own ways and our own commands and our own visions. Eish. You know, sometimes when you speak these things, we lose friends, man. I was speaking somewhere and then I knew that they will never call me again, these guys. I was also speaking in another session and I know that these guys will never call me again.
Live life with us. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Moruti Mraka, let me start with you. What comes to mind, man, about stewardship? Where do we stand? Or are we kicking this one under the carpet?
Yeah. I've been listening as you describing stewardship, and I concur, my brother, that maybe in one sentence I can say a steward is someone who manages another's property. And many times it's managing someone very great. And another name which comes to mind is what you call a majordomo. Especially they use it amongst Portuguese and Spanish people. It's somebody who manages a royal house. And then a third word which comes to mind is chief of staff. And I'm sure we've been hearing that word a lot of times recently. Because a chief of staff is that employee in the office of a very important person who actually manages that office and the personnel, all that belong to this person. It's a chief steward. When Joseph was taken out of prison to come and interpret Pharaoh's dream, and he successfully did that, he was then turned into this position of chief steward. Now, not only just of the house of Pharaoh, but of the whole of Egypt. In other words, he was only answerable to Pharaoh. And therefore, it's a very, very important position. It's a position of responsibility. When you take decisions as a steward, it means the owner or the master has actually taken that decision. That's the trust which gets put into a steward. That is why Paul, I believe it is in 2 Corinthians chapter either 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, but it's chapter 4, verse 1. He said, what is required of stewards is that they should be faithful. Because you are entrusted with your master's belongings, estate. And it's key that you carry out everything in a trustworthy manner. Now, I would like right at the beginning just to give an example of a steward in the what we may call the time of Israel. And that story is captured in the old or the aged covenant writing. The steward we are talking about here is a man who in the Bible is recorded as Shebna. But
with archaeology, it has been found that his full name was actually Shebnayahu, meaning whatever Shebna means, it some say it means growth, others say it means tenderness. But what it means is his name was to say Yudevaves growth or Yudevaves tenderness. And the fact that he dropped the Yahu, I think it goes along with the story of this unfaithful steward. In Isaiah chapter 22, we are told of his displeasure to Yudevaveh. In that chapter, he was the steward. And what happened is Assyria attacked Babylon. Babylon was not yet a big empire that it later became. And he defeated it. And at that time, Judah, with Hezekiah and other kings who lived before him, they relied on Babylon as an ally. In fact, Yudevaveh found fault with Hezekiah that he opened the storehouses of the house of God and showed the Babylonians the treasures of Yudevaveh. And because of that, they ended up being exiled to Babylon. But that was long before they were exiled. Now, when Babylon was defeated, the people, these leaders, especially under the chief stewardship of Shebna, they were mourning as though they had been in battle themselves, when they had not even been in battle. And that's why when Isaiah comes with the word from the Lord, says to them, what do you mean? That is in verse 1. What do you mean that you have gone up, all of you, to the housetops, you that are full of shoutings, tumultuous city, exultant town? Your slain are not slain by the sword, nor are they defunct in battle. Your rulers have all fled together. They were captured without the use of a bow. All of you who were found were captured, though they had fled far away. Therefore I said, look away from me. Let me weep bitter tears. Do not try to comfort me for the destruction of my beloved people. For Yudevaveh of Hoth has a day of tumult and trampling and confusion in the valley of vision, a battering down of walls and a cry for help to the mountains. Persia, which was Elam, bore the quiver with his chariots and cavalry, and Kir uncovered the shield. Your choicest valleys were full of chariots, and the cavalry took their stand at the gates. He has taken away the covering of Judah. These people, the war was not against them, but they ended up behaving like people that had actually been in the war themselves. Now, Yudevaveh said to them, you need to repent and mourn. But what did they do? They became joyous and festive, killing oxen and slaughtering sheep and saying this saying, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that saying we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Holy Spirit is, through Paul, is telling us about the reality of the resurrection. And that if we don't hope that because Yeshua Mashiach resurrected, we will resurrect, We will approach things with this kind of saying, of saying, ah, let's eat and drink and so. Now, Yudevave sent Isaiah to Shebna, the steward, in verse 15, saying, you who is master of the household, say to him, what right do you have? Who are your relatives here that you have cut out a tomb here for yourself, cutting a tomb on the height and carving a habitation for yourself in the rock? Yudevave is about to hurl you away violently, my fellow. He will seize firm hold on you, whirl you round and round, and throw you like a ball into a wide land. There you shall die, and there your splendid chariot shall lie. Oh, you disgrace to your prince's house, I will thrust you from your office, and you will be pulled down from your post. And on that day, I will call my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and clothe him with your robe and bind your sash on him. There will be an exchange.
Mm. I hear you quite well. And if you just joined us and you're wondering, what are we talking about? We are talking about stewardship. Straightforward. What is stewardship even all about? Muruti Muraka was explaining that. What is stewardship even all about? What does the word say with regards to stewardship? What have you learned about it? And someone said to me at some stage, stewardship is only limited to those who lead churches. Mm. Yeah. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7, that says, the Elohim of hosts, if you walk in my ways and if you will keep my commandments, then you shall also judge my house. And likewise, take charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among and those who stand here. Now, stewardship over what? Over what the Father has entrusted to us. It can be gifts, talents, management, skills, education, qualifications, monies. Everything that the Father has given us, we have a charge of stewardship on it. And if you look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 14, 15 says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. It's the Father giving his goods to his servants. These servants, the check says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Check it out. He says, do business till I come. He issued an instruction. But the business is according to him, not according to us. And we know how the story goes, man. We know how the story goes. In Luke chapter 19, verses 13, it says, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them the minors, and said to them, do business till I come. And it is his own business that needs to be done. The Father has given goods to us, quite a lot of goods to us. Look at your children, man. Look at their skills. Look at their lives. There's so much given. And there's so much that needs to be spoken about stewardship. Even where we work. The people who lord over people. Have you seen some managers who don't know their story? They lord over people. But actually, we need to be those kinds of people who basically fulfill the role of stewardship. Professor, what comes to mind?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. And we thank the Lord for this day. Muruti Muraka mentioned quite a lot of things. You also mentioned quite a lot of things. And as you just said, somebody said that stewardship has everything to do only with church. But I believe that it goes beyond that. I guess stewardship, it's a call that each one of us has on a daily basis, because we are called to be steward of something. And we are managing something that we, in the first place, we did not either create, we did not invent, but we got it by grace. You know, as Paul will say in the book of, I think if I'm not mistaken, the book of 1 Corinthians 5, that what do you have that you did not receive? Why are you boasting that of whatever you have? Because whatever we have received from somewhere. That means we received from the Father himself. Now, when you come to stewardship, it's
but we see it as a responsibility. It's a kind of supervision. You are given time to work on something in order to give an account. When you said somebody is a steward, it means he is doing something in order to give an account. And that is very, very important. That means in life, as we live on a daily basis, we are called to be there for one another in order to give an account. You know, this morning I was thinking about something that I'm going to also try to share here. I was thinking about a divorce, for instance. I say, why you have too many divorces? Why people divorce all the time? And when you look at people divorcing today, and when you ask them a question, they'll tell you, I divorced because of this and that. There is always something wrong that they found out that has pushed them to divorce. Something wrong that they found out that has pushed them to part ways. And then I started thinking, I said, okay, if we are steward, because my message was not about the stewardship when I was thinking about that. I was talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. I was just trying to understand what the Holy Spirit has come to do in our lives, and then what we're supposed to be doing as well for the people that we live with, or the people that we spend time with. And the example that came to me was the example of marriage. I said, okay, fine. If today, if we could really understand what the Holy Spirit does for us as a good steward, what he does for us and how he protects us, how he makes sure that we walk according to the Father's way, and how also he protects us from all the wrong that we do. He makes sure that he deals with us in a secret and makes sure that we grow. Because a steward is somebody who makes sure he works it might be behind the scene. It might be visible. But the role of the steward is to make sure that whatever has been given to him, when he has to give it back, he may not give it back, destroyed or whatever, but then he must give it back with some interest or some success. Mm. We see the example, the talent. The talent, they were given one 5, another one 2, another one 1. And what the master was expecting was go and work and bring a return. And now, when we are living example, when you come to marriage, I said to myself, the mere fact that someone can discover the wrong that your partner, you discover the wrong of your partner, this for me, I say it's a privilege for you to know the wrong of your partner. Not for you to destroy your partner, it's for you to build your partner. Because you could not maybe even see it. Why am I saying that? Because a good steward is the one, when he sees a negative things in someone, he does not capitalize on that in order to destroy. But he has to use that in order to build. And then if we do not do that, that means you are not good steward. And also, I go a bit further, said, when we come to the Father, when we accept the word of the Messiah, it's not that we've been perfect. We are not perfect. We were still sinners. And then when we accept the word, he is taking us as we are. Not that we have become perfect, now the way we are. And then what will he do? He won't be all the time reminding us of the wrong that we've done, but he will be now working on us so that the wrong that we have done in the past may not be the object or the subject of our lives. That he may not be focusing on that, but he may focus on something different. A steward will always make sure they find something good in the other one in order to develop it for the good, not for the bad. And I said to myself, when two people want to get married, they know that they are not perfect. That's one thing. They know that they are not perfect. Mm. But then I want to ask myself a question. If they knew in the first place they were not perfect, why after sometimes as they live together, they part ways because of some imperfection? It's okay. That's some crazy. It's crazy because you knew that the person you went to marry was not perfect. And then you live with that person for years, and then you get to a place, I don't love you because of what I've discovered, because of this and that. But you knew already that I was not perfect. Why did you get married to me? Mm. And it shows that people do not understand the purpose of stewardship. They do not understand that when you engage with somebody, you know that you are taking that somebody with all the mistakes and all the shortcomings and all the wrongs. Then when you find out the wrongs in his life or in her life, it's not for you to capitalize on that. It's for you to build that person. Because it is even a privilege for you to find out, because you could not even find out. It should have been hidden. But if it comes out, that means use that for the benefit of the both of you in order to go forward. And if people could understand that, we'll go into relationship as steward, as people who go there to develop others, not to go and destroy others, to go and build others, not to go with a mind of after 29 years, after 30 years, after 40 years, you know, I feel like I need to part way with you. But all this time, why didn't you say when you started the first year? You should have said, in 6 months, it'd be nice. At least we're still young. But why parting ways now? It shows that people engage themselves into things without understanding, without knowing the importance of being responsible. Because a steward is someone first who, he must pay attention to himself first before he starts paying attention to the other. Now, I ask myself this question. The Bible says, why are we so much concerned about the little thing that is in your neighbor's eye, while in you, you have a pillar, almost a pillar in your eye? But what do? We are so much focused on the wrong that others can do, but we forget that the wrong that they can do might not be bigger than the wrong that we do. And the steward is a person who has always to think, whatever I'm pursuing, whatever I'm doing, I might be right according to me, but maybe I might be wrong according to the one who has called me, the one who has sent me. Then what do I do? Let me look all the time and see or watch and see things in the perspective of the one who has sent me. Because the one who has sent me, he knows that the people that I've gone to, the people that I'm living with, they are not perfect. That's why he sent me to go and take care of them. And whenever I find that I'll pick up something wrong, it's not for me to destroy, as I said from the beginning, it's for me to build. Now, if we could have that mind, I believe strongly that we could not have problems in this world. People, when I say problem, I say we could not be parting ways. We're supposed to be people who are building each other, not destroying one another. When you go to work, for instance, I'm going to stop on that, as a steward, when you go to work, most of our managers, they are stewards, because what they do, they're taking care of, the business on behalf of somebody else. Mm. And the truth of the matter, when they employ us knowing that we are not perfect. And then us find something that we do most of the time that is very wrong. We've done it, all of us. Muruti Ray, you've done that. I believe strongly, and Muruti Tarabu, we've done that. We warn people. We do the warning. We've been in that place of warning people. Even our children, sometimes we warn them. But the truth of the matter is, warning somebody is not helping. When you warn somebody, you are just saying, hey, this is wrong. And then what are you doing? We are now looking at the wrong that the person has done, so that you may come with a second warning. And then you're going to come with the third warning, and then what do you do? Going to dismiss the person. Now, the question is, did you develop the person? You did not. Did you take time to help the person? You did not. Did you take time to really find out why he made that mistake? You did not. But what you did was you just gave a warning. And I've realized that in most of our companies, if we could not be just giving warnings, but doing what you call developing people from the wrong that they do, so that they may be better, that tomorrow we may have a good outcome, then we could not be having a lot of firing. But we're having a lot of firing because we don't develop people. It's like as if we are just waiting for an opportunity to give a warning. Hey, that is wrong. And then it's a warning. That's wrong. It's another warning. And then the third one, you kick the person out. And this is not the way it's supposed to be. This world, as I believe strongly, is supposed to be a place whereby we are there for one another. Steward are people who are there to help one another. They are there to take care of themselves, to be, on the guard of themselves, and also making sure that the people that they live with, being family, being friends, being, church, you are not the Superman, but you are just there to give an account to the one who has sent you. But your purpose or your role in between there is to make sure that the people that God has given to you, that you must develop them so that an account may be given, a good one, not a bad one. Because when you give a bad account, like the one who has, one talent, what did he do? Say, no, I'm afraid. Taking this, I'm not going to hit it. But what happened when the master came, he said, you are a very bad, a steward. You are a very bad, a worker. Why? Because you should have taken that money and at least give it to the bank, for instance, for it to develop itself, to grow, not to stay the way it was. And a good steward is the one who makes sure that when they give you two, brings back four. When they give you, when you have, you have a woman that you got married at one point, hey, after 20 years, come up with, when you look at her, you see that she's the best, you become better than with the day you get married to her.
Yeah.
Not you going, it's going, I mean, slowly down, it's going down the drain, and then once you know, I'm tired, I did not know that, I mean, I got married to this person, I didn't know that I got involved in this, but this is not to be a very good steward.
I hear you. I hear you quite well. Thank you so much. I appreciate Professor. Send us your WhatsApp, 0826572729. Drop us a voice note. Let's hear what you say on this matter. What is stewardship even all about? These days, what have we come to make of it? These days, what have we come to make of it? You know, and of course, it's important, you know, as to the implications of this. It's important that we take note of it, that the Father will call us into account, whether we like it or not, you know, whether we like it or not. All right, let's listen to Amelia Mabaso. Amelia, I know if there's one person that is busy, the Department of Agriculture, it is Amelia Mabaso. She's also very busy. Welcome, Amelia.
Good evening, Pastor Ray. Good evening, family. You are greeted in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The topic of today, stewardship. A steward is a shepherd. A steward is a caretaker. He takes a position of a servant to the master and to his or her own fellow people. A good steward is a person with the following qualities: integrity, loyalty, and should be honest and kind, and must be courageous and be filled with strength, peace, and joy, even in the midst of unfavorable circumstances and conditions. A good steward must have, or rather be filled with, the knowledge of the Word of God. A steward must be prayerful and be able to discern the spirit. The spirits, amen. A good steward lives by example. He or she doesn't just talk and expect others to follow, but to do what he says and set an example. Amen. The steward defends the cause at all times, at all costs, despite of whatever situation. We see from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36. We see David protect the army of God from Goliath by giving a testimony that he killed both the lion and the bear to protect his father's flocks in the wilderness. That's how a steward should live his life. He gives his lives for others. A steward is a person who is entrusted with much and ensuring and showing unwavering commitment, dedication, focus to the cause to yield the desired outcomes. Amen. And a good steward is able to stand all kinds of situation and circumstances, yet he remain unshakable because of the wisdom that God bestowed in him. Lastly, Pastor Ray, a steward is like a house built upon the rock, which is Christ himself, the eternal glory. May you all be blessed in the wonderful name of Yahshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much, Amelia. May we really appreciate each and every time, and when you have time, Amelia Mabaso there. Send us a WhatsApp, 0826572729.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
All right, let's listen also to Rato. Rato, greetings to you. Welcome to the show. And I trust that the journey is exciting for you.
Good evening, Pastor Ray, the contributors to the program, and the amazing listeners of Radio Pulpit Jikelele. Tonight's discourse on the table discusses stewardship that is placed on us by our Father. And I'd like to look at the Bible verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 to 9, where Paul ties our giving to the grace of Christ. And he says that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. We give because Christ gave. Stewardship is our response to the gospel. That's why I like it to be known that generosity isn't just a financial decision, it's a theological decision that is ties in with the Christian narrative. So when we out there in the world and we seeing our brothers and sisters in Christ not having anything, we need to know that by us giving, we are being blessed accordingly, because God saw us as stewards to bless someone else. And this blessing, I'm not talking just financially, Pastor Ray. I'm talking about an act of service. Maybe you see your coworker sitting there at work and not knowing what to do and how to tackle a project. As a faithful believer in the doctrine of the gospel, let us extend our hand in helping, and let us not expect anything in return, because the Bible does speak about expectations. That should we not expect an outcome, the Lord that sees us doing things will bless us accordingly to our riches. So when I say us as Christians, we need to exercise the notion of being generous to one another. It's very important, because, like I said, it is a theological practice for us to exercise, and it's our response to receiving the gospel. Stewardshipness also prepares us for eternity. Faithfulness in little things reveals our character and prepares us for greater things. Jesus says, if you can't be trusted with earthly positions, how can you be trusted with true riches? How you manage what you have now matters forever. And this is taken in from the New Testament, the book of Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 11. So if we exercise the notion of being generous here on earth, it's gonna prepare us for the eternity that Christ is going to give us. Amen.
Wow, Rato, thank you so much.
Stewardship also reflects our identity, Pastor. God has given us, each believer, the gifts to be used in service.
Yeah.
Stewardship is about more than positions. It's about relationships, talents, and time. Peter reminds us that we are good stewards of God's varied grace. In other words, we have been trusted with something valuable, and it's not just for us. We need to use it well in society. We need to use it for others. And we ultimately use it for His glory. And this verse is taken from 1 Peter 4, chapter 10. But in all of this, how do we do it? Because we cannot do it on our own in the natural. We need to look at the Father. We need to pray to God and ask us and ask Him, how can we prepare us as being our good stewards in the world? And how do you get it? You ask yourself, how does someone do something? But as an individual, we can only ask God. And what do we require? We require wisdom. Therefore, stewardshipness requires wisdom. Paul exhorts believers to walk wisely and make the best use of time. Time is a resource that God has given us in a limited supply. Stewardship means that we do not drift through days, but we need to live with intention, because the days are evil and time matters. We need to look at the verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, Pastor Ray, when I look at this, because time is really not on our side.
Yeah.
The Bible always tells us that He can come at any time. So therefore, it's very limited. So when you live your life with an intention to do better, to be better, to see those around you better, that is just having the act of stewardshipness. Because not only are you doing better for yourself, but for those around you. And like the African proverb says, if you go alone, you only go as far as you can. But if you go together, you even go further. Because God loves us all, Pastor Ray. Let us be that sheep that is searching for God's faithfulness. Amen.
Wow, thank you so much, Rato. I really appreciate. May the Father do you good. Send us a WhatsApp, 0826572729. Let's hear what you say. Stewardship is what we are talking about.
Inspiring lives with God's Word. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 0826572729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Add your voice to ours. We want to hear from you. Contact us at gospel@radiopulpit.co.za or send a WhatsApp to 0826572729. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.